This is Carolyn Evers from The Messenger, and I'm so delighted that you're here today because I think this show is going to bring some really interesting information for you. We had put up some thoughts on the webpage that what we're going to discuss today is remembering past lifetimes. In other words, there's a certain skill to bringing forth past lifetime memories, and we're going to talk about that. But more importantly, what we're going to touch on is the benefit that one receives from remembering the past. And there are many fascinating benefits that come out of this. But before we touch on that, I want to finish up some business that we didn't get to last week. The person that I interviewed, Carol Hayward, was so fascinating. I didn't want to stop her and discuss this, but I really feel this is very important. And this has to do with Mother Mary, and all over the world there are what I would say miracles occurring whereby there is statues of her weeping tears. There are statues of her where there is blood coming down the cheeks out of the eyes. Along with this phenomenon, and by the way, several of these places where this is happening is in South America, in Colombia. And in Colombia, nearby, there is also a house where there is a picture of Jesus that has appeared on this woman's wall. For these links, for the picture of Jesus, if you go to my website, www.archangelmichaelsconclave.com, there's a place there with the radio shows and the different dates and all of the links that I ever discuss on this show. You'll be able to go there and read the complete story. You might remember that earlier this year in Sacramento, California, there was a statue there that of Mother Mary where the blood had, what appeared to be blood, was seeping from her eyes. And in that particular case, the Curia, that part of the church that would investigate such things, did not take samples to see if this were human blood or not. And they really didn't do much of an investigation about it. Well, on the island of Malta, there is another statue that is doing the same thing. There is what appears to be blood oozing from the eyes, and it is running down the cheeks of the statue and has not stopped. Now, the difference between Malta and the one in California, in Sacramento, is that the Curia there actually have taken samples of what appears to be blood and has run tests on it. And they have determined from the tests that they have run that this is indeed human blood that is oozing from the eyes of this statue. That link and the story, as I said, is on the webpage along with the pictures. And for those of you who are interested in this phenomena, it would be interesting to read the story. If you're familiar with the work that I do communicate with the spiritual hierarchy through many different divisions of spirit, and I went to Mother Mary and I asked her about these two particular phenomena, so to speak, and wanted to know her opinion as to what she had to say to you with regards to this. Now, I'm not going to read all this because it's a very long message, but that entire message is on the website also with the links, and it is under the date of April 28th. That we had intended to get into this last week, so I didn't change it to the 6th. But what I'm going to do is just mention a couple highlights that came from her letter. And as I said, the whole story you can read there. And what she says is, I've been trying very hard to have my children notice me and return to their faith and get closer to their God selves, but I wasn't successful. And so she's referring now to Sacramento, California, because when the news hit the paper, there was a lot of interest. And then after a while, like so many things in life, other news came to the forefront and the interest waned. And she goes on to say, again, I have tried another country, and perhaps they will believe. And I might say that in Malta, the church leaders did test the blood on the statue and declared that it was indeed human. Hopefully this information will spread around the globe, but I do not think so. This will stay a local oddity. Imagine, I show signs of my motherly love to my children, and the world calls this a local oddity. Now, the reason that she is doing this is because she says, times are quickly upon you that the earth beneath your feet will be disruptive. I cry out to you to be in love, as that is the only force that will save you from great destruction. And so what she basically is saying is she is pleading with us to open our hearts, because it is only through love and connecting with our I Am presence that we will be able to tap into the information that will lead us to safety. So in other words, if you're living in an area that perhaps might be prone to earthquake or devastation of hurricanes, and you want to survive in this world and don't want to transition, maybe you feel like you've got a lot to do yet. Well, what Mother Mary is saying is we need to be in love, we need to go within, we need to connect to our I Am presence, where we will get the kind of information that we will need to protect ourselves. And she says, you see devastation in the Midwest from the recent tornadoes, and you sigh, and you're glad that this destruction did not come to your community. But I say to you that there will be no community that will not feel the pain of weather changes and then finally feel the earth move beneath your feet. Now, I'm interested in science, and I think there is a direct correlation between science and between spirit. And there are weather maps that give the earth currents, which I just find so fascinating, how the currents go up one coast, come down another, and they can see from these temperature changes what is going to wind up down in the Caribbean, where these storms start and where the temperatures make a change to bring furious storms. And so we can have a little peek into that and see how the temperatures on the Earth's oceans are changing. So back to what Mother Mary is talking about, she said, she started out by telling us that the northern lights were the beginning of these changes. And for those of you who have read the book, Viva Papa, which is Pope John Paul's words that he has brought to us, he talks about the northern lights and how this new energy coming to Earth, coming through the sun in sunspot activity, brings forth these changes in the stream of electrons that has changed the northern lights, so that if you look, go on the website that has to do with northern lights, you can see that they're reaching further and further south, so that places who never saw the northern lights before are seeing them now. And so Mother Mary had told us in the very beginning that that was the beginning of the changes. And it has to do with the spiritual energy that is coming from Source, that's coming through our sun. So she says she's not coming for herself. She's coming for us, that she has fulfilled her destiny. And she talks about how it is so necessary if we're going to go within and connect to our I Am Presence, our divine self, that we can only connect through repetition. And that's why she's saying, do this now, start this now. And maybe everybody who is listening to my voice today has already done this. And if you have, that's just marvelous. But if you haven't yet, then go to the website, look at her message, look at the places where she is coming to Earth now in so many places trying to get us to open our hearts. And so she again talks about later on in her message the hurricane season that's coming up. She is saying they're going to be intense storms, and she also says they're not going to follow exactly the path of last year, and that there'll be other communities who will feel that devastation. And I just want to read one other thing that she says in this message, and she's talking about the energy that has accumulated around the planet. And it is from faulty thinking and warlike activity. And she says, if you could only see this from her perspective, what it looks like is dense, dark energy. And it contracts and appears like thick, ugly glue. And that we're walking through this. And it is affecting our bodies. And she goes on to say how we can clear this. You know, she speaks like a mother, of course. She sees herself as a mother. We see her as our mother. And she says, ending in the message, if only I could touch you on the shoulder and say, wake up, I love you, and you need to recognize your God. But I cannot do this. I can only place human blood on my statues and send you these messages to those who are willing to take my messages and give them to you. If you would only open up your hearts to your God, you could hear God respond. So go, if her message interests you, go to the website, read the message and the links, and there are pictures, as I said, of Jesus pictures on the wall and the statues. Now, getting back to the question at hand, remembering past lifetimes. I chose this topic to talk to you today, and I'm going to be discussing it from the point of view of my own experiences, not something that I've read in the book or something that I've studied in a course, but this is my own experiences that has been accumulating for perhaps 20 years, and it involves my son. My son died when he was 16 years old in an automobile accident. And like any mother who would have lost a child so young, it was a difficult time in life to get through, but eventually I connected with him. I was on this side, he was on that side, and we have had an experience with one another ever since. And he has been my companion through so many of my lifetimes. And he said to me one time, Mom, I have a gift for you. And he showed me all of my lifetimes flipping by, the face of each individual person that I was. And it was just amazing. I have to tell you, there were so many lifetimes that flipped by, I could not count them. And as I started to remember my past lifetimes, I realized that so many of these lifetimes, my son was playing a role in them. There were times when, well, in this lifetime, we were mother and son. There was a time when he was my father, I was his daughter. We were lovers. We were brother and sister. Every possible relationship that you can think of that people hold with one another, in all these different lifetimes, my son and I had played these roles. And at first, I thought this was really strange, because why in the world was he showing up in all of these past lifetimes, and why were we playing all of these different roles? And then I started to realize, as I was remembering these different lifetimes, that this was one of the reasons why we came to Earth, was to study the many different faces of relationships, and primarily the emotion. So one of the big reasons that we were here on Earth was to face ourselves through emotions that showed every kind of face in our soul. So we were studying this. Now, Spirit, when they set up this exercise here on Earth, they didn't have a physical body, and so they didn't understand a certain point of emotion from this perspective. They looked at emotion from the perspective of soul. They did not look at emotion from the perspective of the physical body and what trauma actually meant to an individual. In other words, when you suffer physically, there are times when you have a very difficult time to get beyond that suffering. And if a person was murdered or tortured, and I remember a lot of my lifetimes through a certain period of time where I was a Templar Knight, and we protected, the Knights protected the people. It was the only protection that they had. There wasn't law and order during a lot of these periods. And so you had vast hordes of warriors fighting one another for control. And if you happened to be on the losing side, the vanquished many times were tortured and murdered in a most horrible manner. And so that energy of that trauma sometimes got stuck in the physical. You couldn't clear it away and transmute it. And when you went to the other side, you couldn't take it with you. And so when you came back to Earth, the soul came back into another physical form. They had to take up that trauma and clear it. Now, that might be, you know, many people might be aware of this. There might be some who are not aware of it. But unless those past life traumas are cleared, when they are brought up to be cleared, if they are pushed down deeper in the psyche, that is the basis for what we call disease. And I have a book that was given to me. It is Chaos Before Creation, and there are 13 masters who have come who discuss every aspect of healing. And this is one of the aspects that they discuss, is how to clear these past life traumas. And it is so important for ascension. If we're going to move with our bodies to the next higher dimension, we have to clear away all of these past life traumas. So let's give you a little idea as to how I started on that path. I would say my first route that I took personally was through dreams. And I had issues in my life where I had been divorced, gone through a very troubled divorce, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who went through the same thing. And one night I was drifting off to sleep, and I threw out this question to the universe. What is all of this about? How in the world does all this continue? Why just doesn't this end? And I drifted off to sleep, and when I did, I had this very vivid dream of a past life where the man who was my husband in the current life was my husband then. And the dream didn't last long, but in that period of the dream, I understood very complex issues among four different people. And the fascinating thing about all of that is it gave me an answer as to why that trauma in a present lifetime had been carried over. This wasn't trapped in my physical body. I was reliving these events with this man that I had struggled to resolve in an earlier lifetime and didn't. So many of these memories, the fascinating thing about it is I have been able to find factual information where I could actually trace the people. And I had gone on a trip to France with a group of people and was on the Eiffel Tower and saw a picture of Eiffel, who was on the picture, and I recognized the clothing, and I realized that the man in my dream was wearing the same kind of clothes. And so I talked to my guide, and I described these two people. She gave me the names. She directed me to a book. I picked up the book. I saw the pictures. And what's so fascinating is many times from lifetime to lifetime, you actually resemble some of these people from the past. And there's a book right now where a gentleman has written the stories about the people who founded our country, the founders of the Declaration of Independence and the early people who formed this country, and has gone to spirit and found out who they were in this lifetime and has shown the two pictures together. And it is fascinating that there are resemblances that we carry between these different lifetimes. And this was what I was facing. I was facing this picture of myself in a previous lifetime. And that was kind of interesting to see that. So that was perhaps one of my first experiences through a dream. But something that I didn't understand at the time, and I'll tell you, is it wasn't just the dream. The dream was the result. What set the dream up was throwing the question out to the universe in the alpha state. And let's just go over that a little bit because it's important to understand the different states of the brain waves. And so beta, my mind is engaged right now because I'm speaking to you. And so I would be in beta. And science tells us that runs between brain waves of 15 to 40 cycles per second. Really doesn't mean too much if you're not interested in that. But basically a person who is mentally engaged is in beta. They're making a speech, a teacher, talk, a radio show host. All of this is beta. Now, alpha, the brain waves are slower and higher in amplitude. And that ranges from 9 to 14 cycles per second. Now, an example of this would be a person who has completed a task. In other words, you finish doing something that was important and you sit down and you take a rest. And you kind of like kicking back a little, you're probably in the alpha state. And that's another example would be you're in a conference, you've been really busy, and you kind of want to take a break, and you go out to the garden, and you're kind of looking at the flowers, maybe even daydreaming a little bit. You're probably in alpha state. And that is also going into the alpha state when you start to settle down, ready to go to sleep, kind of snuggling up in your bed. And this is where I was in the alpha state going into theta when I threw out that request to the universe. What's going on here? Why is this happening between my husband and myself? And so, yes, you'll get answers in the dream state, but you set it up going into the alpha. You know, there's an old saying about sleep on it, because if you have some decision to make, the mind works on something as you are asleep, drifting off to sleep. And so that is a very important time to structure questions to your higher mind. And your higher mind has connections with information. It can get answers to any question that you have in this universe. And it's good to know. Have faith in that. Work with that. And it might even be interesting, if you don't have a dream journal, to get one. Just paper and pencil, and write down the question that you asked and some of these answers that you're getting. Because once you start finding that spirit is really answering you, that this really is a system behind all of this, you build up your faith, and that is important. Now, the next level, theta brain waves, it's greater amplitude and slower frequency, and that's normally between 5 to 8 cycles per second. And the example of that is you've taken time off from a task and you begin to daydream, and you've kind of lost track of yourself and you're really involved in your daydreams. And you probably have entered the theta brainwave state. Now, here's an example of this. And you have this happen to you all the time. I know I do. You're driving along on a freeway, and all of a sudden, you discover, gee, I can't remember. Now, this is a freeway that you're familiar with driving. I don't mean it's a strange freeway, but one that you frequent. You're familiar with all the turns and so forth. And then all of a sudden, you discover you can't recall the last 5 miles. You've got from one place to another. You didn't consciously remember doing it, but you did negotiate that period of time, and you were probably, at least if you weren't in theta, you were close to it. And so it's the repetitious nature of a form of driving, as opposed to if you're on a country road and you've really got to watch where you're going because of the potholes and you're not familiar with it. So you might be, you're moving between different states. Now, there's another concept that goes with theta, and that is it's often a free flow, and it occurs without censorship or guilt. It's typically a very positive mental state. Now, that is a state that we can use for healing, either our own physical or for sending healing to others. And I point these out to you because it is only through repetition to know once where you're there, to understand how it feels, because it's very easy then to get into that state once you recognize it. So there are the different states. using the alpha state and the theta, you can use music to help get you there. Hopefully you use one piece of music that has very relaxing kind of music. Some of it we know excites the higher states of the brain. Some people have certain music that they use all the time when they go into meditation. And so in a sense, people who meditate a lot would probably understand what I'm talking about with these different states, because this is the entranceway to remembering your past lifetimes. So dreams, requesting the universe first. I think that is, well, sometimes we have dreams that just come without us requesting, and it's because we're working on a problem during the day, and it automatically carries over to the dream state. But we could be very conscious about directing this request to spirit by sending that out to the universe. Deja vu. we all have deja vu now and then. Something happens, somebody says something to you, you go to a place and it's like, gee, I've heard that before, I've been there before, and here I am reliving it. Examine those. Examine those instances of deja vu, because there is something about that that is reminding you, perhaps, of something that has happened in the past. I was on a trip with a group of people, and I saw this ring. Actually, I wear small rings. This was a very large stone, very different from anything I ever had, but I had to have it. And so I was showing it around the table that we were sitting in. We were on a cruise. And one of the ladies in the group said, "Your Highness, show me that ring." Well, that was kind of a funny thing to say, but we had been working with one another, connecting each other to their higher mind, and delving into the past with questions. And the two of us knew right away when she said that, it was like deja vu. We knew that there was something of significance between the two of us over that ring. And I said to her, "Okay, meet me in the cabin tonight. We're going to have to figure out what this ring is about." And sure enough, it involved a past lifetime between the two of us. We didn't have anything to resolve. There wasn't any emotional issues that were brought over to this lifetime that we had to resolve. But it was interesting how it was showing that these experiences of words popping out of your mouth that you didn't really think about saying, it was a spur-of-the-moment thing, or deja vu, they do have connections to the past. Now, spontaneous memory. We do have spontaneous memory. Things happen. We remember a past lifetime, and there is a little trigger that helps us to remember instantly of something in the past. I was with a group. We went to Jordan. We were with a group. We were on a mission of healing in the area. We were working with the grid system, and we were out in the desert. And I have to tell you, the desert is so beautiful. The colors are very subtle. And once you start to notice the subtle colors, you really see the beauty of the desert. And this lady friend that I was with started talking about how she remembered being a cook for Abraham and how they would travel, and they had a grain that they would grind, and they would make a pancake out of it, and how if at the end of a day's travel, if they found wood, they would actually build a fire, but if they didn't, they would cook their pancakes on the rocks. The rocks would get so hard, they would find a flat rock and cook their pancakes on it. And she told me how she remembered that lifetime. She was a mom with some boys who belonged to the Boy Scouts, and they were having a jamboree, and she was fixing breakfast for these guys, and they were rushing her. They were hungry. "Come on, get the pancakes up here." And she remembered Abraham telling her the same thing, not in that exact tone of voice about "get the pancakes up here," but, you know, "we're hungry, get moving." She was a servant to Abraham, and they were reprimanding her for not getting the food out there fast enough. And it was that instant that triggered that past life. And then for myself, I find that if I'm at a location where I've had another lifetime before, to be at that location is extremely important. It's a very strong trigger to bring on a past lifetime. you're on the same spot, and you've been there before, and there is something that the soul remembers. And I was in the tomb of King Tut. I had gone with a group. It was one of the places that we were going to see. And it was the way we were walking. The entranceway to King Tut's tomb is very narrow. And so when you have a long group of people, they kind of take a few steps, they stop. They take a few steps, and they stop. And it was this cadence, because I remembered being with the group that had buried King Tut. And I looked down, it was like my whole consciousness had changed gears. I was that person that I was years ago, and I could see the clothes that I wore and the shoes, and I could see the box that I was carrying, and it was a gold-gilded box in the shape of an Ankh, and I knew that King Tut's personal golden Ankh was on the inside. And so my guide said, oh, we're going to be in the Cairo Museum, and we'll find out if this box is with King Tut's belongings. And so I was telling the ladies, and they said, oh, here's the shoes you were describing. And so, yeah, the gold shoes were there, just the way I had described them, with the little points and the open sides. And then there I am looking at the case of the Ankh. And my guide, fortunately, could speak the language, got a hold of the curator, and they wanted to know if there was a golden Ankh on the inside. And the curator told them, no, not now, but at one time it was, and that Ankh is in the British Museum. And so I've had so many stories like this where the past that I remembered has been confirmed in some fashion to me. Now, that, you might say, well, that's good to kind of know that we've existed before, that we've always been here on Earth in many lifetimes, but actually, what does that do for our own healing? Well, when, in my particular case, I had an issue to deal with fear. Like I told you, I had been a Templar Knight many times, and tortured to death many times. And so there was an element of fear that I went through when I was in the physical that I had not cleared. And I went through a trigger that reminded me of these past fears, and there's no need to go into that other than just telling you an event occurred in my life where that fear was triggered, and I had to clear it from the physical, but I didn't know that there was such a thing at the time. And so what happened out of that is I developed a situation of elevated blood pressure that was very high. Went to the doctors, tried every kind of medication, couldn't take anything that could bring down my pressure. I thought I was going to have a stroke and die. I'd been to the hospital several times with it. The blood pressure was, no matter what medicine I took, was just uncontrolled. And until I eventually found out what this was tied to, it was tied to the fear that I had to clear. And I started to realize this when these masters came and gave me all of this information. And if there are people out there who have symptoms that they can't seem to clear, I'm not telling you not to go to your doctor. Please go to your doctor. But read the book, Chaos Before Creation, because there is some interesting steps in there that talk about how to clear these emotional triggers. And in the back is an appendix that talks about the different diseases that people might have and some of the emotional triggers that might be involved with them. And in no way do we say not to continue with your medical prescriptions and what you're doing. Continue with that. All I'm saying is that along with that, search and find out if some of this is past life traumas that you're carrying around in the physical body. that is a great benefit of remembering past lifetimes. If you get this book and you have questions, please feel free to contact me, and that can be found at healingmysteries.com. And I have been able to clear my blood pressure without taking medication, which to me is a marvelous thing. I'm going to go over because I see the time is kind of clicking away. Some of the other triggers to remember past lifetimes, and I talk about that, visiting places of former lifetimes. How do you know you had a former lifetime there? Well, you don't really know. However, you see a picture, and you say to yourself, gosh, that's gorgeous there. You know, I really would like to go there someday. There's a possibility you had a past lifetime there. The place, you're intrigued by some spot. And if you go there, you might find out that you are facing yourself from a past lifetime. Emotion. Now, emotion is a big trigger. Somebody comes into your life, never met them before. You love them. They're great. And I don't mean romantically. There's just something about that person. You have no past experience with them, but you know right away that here's the person of your own heart. You might be facing someone that you have shared experiences with in the past. And so think about that connection. Why is it that you like that person? Get into analyzing your feeling. Or you meet some person, you have no reason to dislike them, but immediately, they haven't even hardly said anything to you. They haven't been offensive to you in any way, but you know right away that you dislike them, but you don't know why. And so emotions of these sorts, well, actually every phase of emotion that you might have trouble walking around, cooperation, no matter what that emotion is, study it. Try to understand why it is that you have that feeling. Challenging your belief system is another way that you might remember past lifetimes. Challenging your belief system. You know, you have a certain belief about something, but you don't exactly know why. Or maybe you do know why, but it's not a good enough reason. So we have attitudes. We have things in our belief system that might have been formulated before we came into this lifetime. These are all things that we need to explore. And, of course, connecting with your higher mind, if you know how to do that, that is a marvelous way to learn the past. Now, some of the healing that comes from that, we talked about the physical being healed. Many, I'm hearing from a lot of people about, you know, we have physical challenges today, and I'm sure that there are many reasons, not eating properly, maybe taking drugs that aren't, prescription drugs that aren't helping us too much, causing side effects. But connecting to the higher mind is extremely important to help direct us through the path that we should be taking. It is so easy to be distracted in this world today, and healing is vitally important because a lot of illnesses are surfacing today, and you might not be able to see into the body. I've been very fortunate that I have friends who literally can see into the human body, and they do this in the theta state. It's a process that can be learned. And a matter of fact, one of my friends promises that she's going to come here and discuss this. Caroline is extraordinary. I went through some classes with her studying going into the theta state. To peer into the human body and to see what is wrong. to see what needs to be corrected and to connecting with the higher mind for the answers, which actually is the threshold to God, to get this information back to the individual. So in the future, we are going to discuss that. Now, besides the physical healing, there is also emotional healing. When I was in Jordan, I had gone on a trip with a group of people who were all Knight Templars. We remembered being Knight Templars, and we were there for healing in the Middle East, and we were also there to face ourselves, who we were in the past, to heal the emotional aspects of what we went through. And I remembered what it was like to be in the midst of this group of men, because to them, they saw the face of God in every person that they met. They were truly a brotherhood. They looked upon each other as looking upon in the face of the divine. And so there was this great recognition of brotherly love. And in experiencing that lifetime, I remembered that. It was an extraordinary blessing to me to come away with that memory, to be with a group of people who truly loved one another as each one of these souls was a representative of Christ. They could see that and believe and honor one another as being part of the God who sent us. And so it was a wonderful memory. And these past lifetime memories, when they come back to you, you can heal the physical and you can also heal the emotional. Probably one of my most healing experiences was centered around the book Conversations with Caesar. And that was an extraordinary time for me, because I remembered being Julius Caesar's daughter. And from history, she might have seemed like a very privileged person, but, and yes, she did walk in the midst of powerful people, but there was a great deal of tragedy about her lifetime. And it centered around her father and the man that she loved. She was very much in love with a centurion by the name of Flavius, and her father had killed him. And he went over to the other side, and he could view this from the perspective of soul, and he was able to pass through that experience without the pain and the connection that Julia had to the sadness. And so when I took down their story, which actually was very exciting, because I met Julia when I was in Rome, had visions of her. She came to me, gave me this whole story. It was quite a fascinating experience. But I relived all the pain of that. I was carrying that on some level that I didn't understand, and I needed to purge myself of that pain. And it was a very deep pain, because as I heard their story and I was writing it down, I had become physically ill. And I had a terrible case of shingles over it. For people who don't know what shingles are, it's an inflammation of the nerve endings, and it's very painful. And so I had relived that, was finally able to clear that. And if you read that story, if you have any appreciation for the Roman Empire or interested in it at all, you really would enjoy Conversations with Caesar, because he gives his deepest thoughts of where he was after he was assassinated. And he was in a place that, in the Christian tradition, we would call that purgatory. He called it the Bardo. In spirit, they called it Bardo. And he explains exactly what it was like and why he had to go through all of that. And so helping release him from the Bardo was my role this time. Even though there was a part of me that disliked him immensely for killing the man that I loved, I still felt that when he told me the story of what it was like in the Bardo, I had compassion for him because I didn't feel like anyone who was human should have to go through what you went through in the Bardo. And that was healed. I forgave him unconditionally for all the things that were, that I felt that were wrong to me in that lifetime. And we have become very close friends. He is my guide now. And I admire him greatly because he has paid back what he had to pay back because of the wrongs that he did in that lifetime. And in conversations with Caesar, he explains about earth changes and what he sees from the other side. And so for me, that has been so therapeutic on so many different levels. I can't tell you how wonderful it was. And before I start to remember all of these past lifetimes, I wasn't even aware that those conditions existed. And so when my son died, he came back, I realized that for certain we live beyond death. And I hear people sometimes say, you know, they don't know if we're going to survive death. Well, I know that we survive. I met my son. I have a relationship with him over 20 years. So I know that we do survive. And I have met those that I journeyed with in the past and have relationships with them today. And so it is like one continuous journey, so to speak. It's interrupted sometimes because we transition to the other side. But we come back and we pick up those pieces, so to speak, and we move on. Whatever road we choose to take, the high road, the middle road, the low road. But we have all of these connections from the past. We're starting to meet people who are living today that we have connected with in the past. And we recognize them again through emotion. And it is because the earth time, as we understand it, is going to change. It is going to be like it is in the spirit world where it is, I am told, continuous, where it is not necessarily a past, present, or future as we understand it today, but the moment of continuous now. I can't say that I quite understand that. I can only say that this is what I am told, that this is the thing that will change here. The earth is not going to be destroyed, but time is going to change. It is going to be like it is on the other side. And so, my friends, if there is anything that I have said today that is of interest to you and you have a question for me, please go to the website at archangelmichaelsconclave.com, ask me. And if you have stories of past memories where you remember other past lifetimes, we have just scratched the surface here, and I'd be glad to assist you in any way possible. So until the next time, my friends, this is the messenger saying so long for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program. and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.